If we could read together verses 16 and 17 of the passage that was just read to us. 16 and 17. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. I just can't tell you how dynamite that passage is. It's the gospel. And God willing, I'm going to try and explain it, but I've put it on the... I'm spoon-feeding you. You're not going to get this when I'm gone. You're going to have Bibles in front of you. Follow this. It's an amazing passage. But let's pray together. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name, you have promised those who seek will find. We seek you with all our heart this morning. Speak to us. Oh, Father, speak through me. And I know, Lord, you use the foolish things of the world to speak profound truth. Oh, God, melt hearts, awaken sleeping souls. And may your gospel on this first Sunday of the new year truly shine forth for Christ's sake. Amen. How do you know this morning that you have experienced the living God? Now think about this, because we're all good with words. How do you know if you've experienced God? Philosophers talk about substance and accidents. They say everything that exists has a substance and an accident. A substance is that which a thing is. An accident is that which a thing does. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. The substance of a fire is its temperature, its fuel, its oxygen. That's the substance of a fire. The accident of a fire is its consuming heat. A fire burns. Do you get that? If you're in the presence of a fire, you will feel its heat. Now, if I ask you, have you ever stood close to a blazing furnace of fire? And you said, yes, I've stood near a furnace. And I said, well, what did you feel when you stood near the furnace? If you were to say, well, I don't know. I didn't feel much. I won't believe you'd be near a furnace. Because if you've been near a furnace, you will inevitably feel heat. You see, heat is the accidence of fire. Anyone that tells me they have known the substance fire will have to tell me they've experienced its accidence heat. Does that make sense? There is no substance without its accidents. Now, why am I telling you that? The accidents of God is holiness. The book of Hebrews tells us God's holiness is as a consuming fire. And therefore, everybody who's truly experienced God has felt the heat of God's holiness. You cannot be in God's presence and not feel the convicting power of holiness, the holy fear of the Lord. I'll give you an example. When God came down on Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, remember the Israelites were camped around the mountain with Moses? And the Spirit of God came down in a blazing fire. What did the Israelites do? They were absolutely terrified. They trembled and said to Moses, "We can't bear his presence. Please, Moses, you go in our name and stand before him as our representative, because we can't bear the awesome presence of God." You see, the accidence of God is holiness. And it was an awesome, burning, terrifying experience. Just as the accidence of fire is its heat, the accidence of God is awe-striking holiness. Nobody can be in God's presence and not know the fear of the Lord. I'm going to say that again, because we're living in very verbal days when words are just used flippantly. Nobody can truly claim to have ever been in the presence of God and not sense the fear of the Lord, the burning accidence of God's being. God is blazing, consuming, spiritual fire in essence. And don't tell me you've ever experienced the living presence of God if you've never had a sense of that consuming fire, holy fear. To experience God, the theologians say, is to experience the numinous awe. Now, don't get me wrong. When I speak about the fire of God's holiness, fire is not a physical heat. The fire of God's holiness is not going to burn your body. God's holiness burns spiritually. It burns the conscience. And if you have met the living God in a real and living way, I guarantee you, every time, your conscience will have been burned. Nobody can tell me they've met the living God in all his holiness if they haven't been seared in their conscience. Because God is holy, and the accidence of holiness is conviction. Isaiah gives an example of this. In Isaiah chapter 9, remember in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. What was Isaiah's response? He saw the Lord and he said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I've seen the Lord. Woe is me." He was troubled in his conscience when he met the Lord. He was awestruck. God is holy. He is a blazing, consuming spiritual fire that burns at the conscience. And anyone that's ever experienced the presence of God will know this numinous awe, the fear of the Lord. In the light of that, this morning, how is your conscience before God? Only you can answer that, because we can all put on our Sunday faces. But how's your conscience before God? Or let me put it this way. Would you be bold enough right now to stand in the presence of a holy God before his throne, knowing who you are, knowing what you've been and what you've done and what you've thought and what you've felt? Would you be able today to stand in the presence of the great I Am? Well, you may say, well, I don't know. How can anyone do that? How on earth can anyone, as sinful as me, ever hope to stand in the presence of holy fire? This is the essence of the Christian gospel. This is what Christian faith is all about. People, if you've heard another version, throw it away. This is what the gospel's about. And this is what you've got to preach to the world. We have to preach how sinful people, like you and me, are able to stand in God's presence and not be consumed in holy fire. That is the purpose of the gospel. God is a consuming blaze of holiness. In fact, the Bible says, there's coming a day when the presence of God will be revealed on this earth. And the blaze of God's holiness will consume millions and millions of people. There'll be the annihilation of millions in the presence of this holy fire. Is your conscience convicted of God's holiness? If you're not troubled by the idea of a holy God, I can promise you, your gospel's not worth very much. You do not understand what the gospel's all about, people. If you don't understand, the whole purpose of Christ is an answer to sinners in the hands of an angry God. God is in the Old Testament known as Kadosh, Kadosh. In the New Testament, he's Hagios, holy, holy, holy. Now, after having said all that, let me tell you a story I've told you, I think, once before. True story. There was a woman in America in the 1990s. You might have heard of her. Her name was Clara Faye Tucker. How many have heard of her? She's gone down in history as an axe murderer. She chopped two people to death with an axe. Horrible woman. And she did it for a joke. She was arrested, put on trial, and she laughed at them and everything else. She was eventually sentenced to death in a state, I forgot which state it was, but it was death by lethal injection. They strap you on a bed and inject you and put you to sleep pretty much. And she was on death row for a while. When she finally came to the day of her execution, the press were amazed because she came into that room in an orange garment. She had to give her farewell speech. And she said something basically like this. I'm not afraid to die. I'm going to my Jesus. He's waiting for me in heaven. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. And she died singing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, that we sang just now. Praising God. Lethally injected. Praising God. An axe murderer. The family of the victims were outraged. How dare this woman die in such a pleasant way? They were hoping she would die in agony. How was it that this woman felt no guilt, no fear? This woman knew the gospel. Look at verse 17. In this world that is right here and now on planet Earth. Right now, here, you and me. We, Christians, are like him. Like who? Like Jesus Christ in heaven. Holy, pure, good, righteous, sinless. But how? How can sinners like you and me, do you know what you are? I certainly know what I am. How can we be like him? Not one day in heaven in the sweet by and by. Look what it says there. In this world, right here and now. How can we be like him? Well, look at verse 16. We Christians live in God, and God lives in us. How so? Well, here you've got to listen. When we surrendered our lives to God, when we were born again, when we were regenerated, God did two things. Now listen, we're going to now come to the main part of my text. When you were saved, Christian, God put his spirit in you. He is in you. But he did something else, didn't he? He put you in his Son, Jesus Christ. When God looks at you right now, where you're sitting on earth, he doesn't see you and all your sins. He sees his spotless, pure, beautiful Son. And he treats you accordingly and loves you accordingly. You see, Jesus covers you. He is your atoning cover, your kippur. It's put this way in the Bible. Christians are hidden with him, hidden in Christ. Therefore, as Christ is in heaven right now in all his glory, so are we here on earth right now. God is looking at you and he's seeing the beauty of his Son when he looks at you. You are in him. And it's proven by the fact that you know he's in you. Do you realize that? On earth right now, you are spotless because you're covered in the Kippur Adonai, the covering of the Lord. You're in Christ. And that is why that axe murderer, Clara Faye Tucker, could, knowing what she'd done, go to meet God without fear. As Christians, sorry, Roger, I'll have that other water. It's getting worse as I'm a two-glass man now. You see, he knows this. He had it ready for me. Thank you. And that is why a person, as wretched as they are, can say, I can stand before my God without fear. As Christians, you are wrapped in the righteous robe, Jesus Christ himself. You wear a special garment, a fireproof covering that's able to stand you in the heat of God's divine glory forever. And you, right now, as you sit here in that chair on earth, when God looks down upon you, he doesn't see your failures and your sin. The scriptures say he sees his own beloved Son, and he loves you in Christ. This is the gospel. And this is the confidence of every Christian. In this world, we read, we are like him. Esmen kathos atos estin. We are just as he is on earth, as he is in his glory in heaven. Is that hard for you to take in? This is our Christian confidence. This is why it's nonsense to make Christianity a matter of what you've got to do and not do and do this and don't do that. It's got nothing to do with you. Hide in the rock of ages cleft for you. It's not about you. Oh, once your heart's been won, you'll do good deeds anyway. But your salvation is all about him. And as he is in heaven, so are you on the earth. Charles Wesley put what I'm saying so well in that hymn, Amazing Love, didn't he? What's the last verse? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Now listen. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed with righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the prize through Christ my own. How can I be so bold in the presence of holy fire? I'm alive in him, clothed with righteousness divine. His blood is covering you, and the glory of God's wrath has passed over. Yeah, there's a very strict dress code in heaven. You'd better be wearing your wedding garment when you get there. All true believers. And by the way, you get your garment while you're down here. There's no garments sold up there. You get your garment while you're down here. All true believers are clothed in Christ. And that is what John is telling us in this passage. So my challenge is, are you clothed in Christ? Are you prepared to stand before the glory of God's holiness, the consuming fire of his being? Look at the text again. In this way, love is made complete among us. That's the agape of God. The gospel love is fulfilled in us. How? Well, we have confidence on the day of judgment. What's the day of judgment? When the holy fire burns on his creation. Why? Because as he is in heaven, so are we now. Here on earth, are you clothed in righteousness divine? This is the gospel. Don't hear imitations. Don't let people reduce the gospel to morality and behavior and living standards. It's all about that Jesus who's given his life to cover you in his holiness. So you can stand before the Father as a son in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise you this morning. I know there may be people here today who could not comprehend spiritual truths. We know the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing outside of Christ. And all I can do right now is pray, oh Lord, convict such people. Show them how essential it is that we are under the blood of the Lamb, covered in the righteous robe of Christ. And for those of us that are born again, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you that we can face glory because we are found in Christ. Amen. We're going to close with that hymn. Gospel, I am clothed with righteousness divine. Oh, no matter who I am, what I've done, where I've been, I know what I am, but I know who covers me, and I praise you for that. Oh, Father, may we teach Christ, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. May we preach, Lord, he who offers his very holy life to cover our sinfulness. Thank you that as he is in heaven, you look down and we are so on earth. Amen.